Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
It's like bad. I'm recording, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you want to put your headphones on.
Oh, yeah, I suppose I should do that. It all makes sense now. Game Funder. Yeah, what would they call it? Gaming Funder.
Gaming Funder.
It sounds like first Game Funder.
Game Funder, yeah, unless someone took that already. And it should be called actually Gaming Thunder.
Gaming Thunder.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there is already a Game Funder, but that's for video games.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because this is only going to be for tabletop.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I'm so hungover. My head hurts. Welcome to Game
Class. In that case, it's time for the applause, applause, applause. I live for the applause, applause, live for the applause, applause.
You can't see it, but like my left eye is like bulging out of its socket right now. It doesn't help that like the day before this whole thing, I have like the worst allergy attack I've had in like years. And I'm like almost laid up.
Did those allergies really work you over?
It like...
Did he jump you while you're trying to walk to your car?
It's first of all, it stole my wallet.
Yeah,
and then it used my credit cards to buy illicit pornography on the internet before I had a chance to cancel them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, at least you got the pornography out of the deal, right?
The illicit pornography.
Ah, sweet. Snuff films,
as opposed to illicit pornography.
Snuff films.
Actually, they were snuff films, but it was actually just old ladies doing snuff. It was not what I thought it was. Still masturbated. Not what I thought
right,
it was.
Right.
Anyway, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe.
Did you lubricate with Earl Grey tea?
Yes.
I knew it.
Earl Grey. Hot.
too hot.
Computer. And with me, as always, is the Sam to my Frodo, Steve.
Mr. Frodo.
Share the load.
The load. Backpack full of sausages. Did I see what?
Did you see Hobbit yet?
No.
Hobbit? No. I liked it.
I do want... Oh, well, yeah, I've heard it's good. I'm going to see it, but basically the weather has kind of been keeping me indoors.
Yeah.
Just like we were going to go...
the icy, sleety tundra that is the Midwest right now.
Yeah, the first day we were going to go, I was like, yeah, let's go. And we just looked outside and it was like... Let's just stay in and watch things on Netflix. And that's what we did.
Yeah. Let's watch the first Hobbit again. Actually, I have a feeling if this runs the same way, it seems to be running the same way as Lord of the Rings, where it's like, oh, the Fellowship was so awesome. And then you watch Two Towers and you're like, Fellowship blew. Two Towers is awesome. Like, that's the way this kind of was. It was kind of like, oh, Desolation of Smaug, way better than...
Yeah, they just get increasingly better.
Yeah, The first one was all right. Someone brought it up to me put it in this perspective, though, that I think was really interesting. I think part of the reason why Lord of the Rings is better than The Hobbit has nothing to do with the fact that The Hobbit's a kiddie movie. It's, I think there was a lot more realism in terms of like practical effects in the Lord of the Rings, and The Hobbit is really computer generated, like a shit ton of computer generated effects.
They seem to be sticking pretty hard to the practical stuff, though, where they can.
I noticed it in this one, too. I was kind of like, oh, there's a lot of computer stuff.
It's a fact of you're using more things that need to be computer assisted.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not blaming it, and I don't think it really hurt it in the long run.
I mean, I think it's just the story it tells is different, and the requirement, like the trolls. Perfect example are the trolls. You could not have done that scene in that way with practical effects.
Dude, Phil Tippett stop motion animation puppets.
That's not practical.
Ray Harryhausen.
Well, yeah, Ray
that would have been awesome.
That's because Ray Harryhausen is a space wizard.
Space wizard.
He can make anything look good. He'd be like, hey, can you animate this pear? And he's like, sure. And the pear just transforms into a giant. And you're like,
are you a warlock? Are you some sort of wizard? Look at this guy. He's a wizard.
My finger's not tired at all.
Yeah, but... There was some weird stuff in there. I really liked a lot of the elf stuff in there. I thought I wouldn't like, but I liked it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
My only complaint is that it really felt like it was stretched out so that it could be three movies. Like this one, it was like, oh, that sequence just keeps going. Oh man. Oh, there's like four main sequences, and each one of them goes on for about an extra 10-15 minutes.
That's kind of surprising, because the first movie was very long, but it did not feel long to me at all. We finished the movie and we're like, wow, that movie was fucking wow.
I'll gracefully disagree with you. That first one felt a little long to me. This one didn't. This one felt just about right. I think you could have. It was 2.5 hours long, and it was like a movie that could have been 2 hours long.
Now the only question that I want answered is: does Smaug have Benedict Cumberbatch's signature hair?
Nobody wears a scarf like Sherlock.
Okay, very good. Yeah, very good.
And there was a bunch of like Tumblr people in the screening, just like furiously putting, you know, gifts on their tumblers of Benedict Cumberdragon, and masturbating all over their keyboards at the
obviously.
Time. Yeah, they were like, "Oh my God, Smaug should meet Doctor Who, and then they should go and fight Sherlock. This would be the greatest thing ever."
Benedict Cumberbatch has anything to do with Doctor.
Didn't you ever? Have you ever never been on a teenager's Tumblr?
I try to avoid such
things. It's
the last Tumblr I was on that for Steve, any extended Steve, period of time.
Look, see that dark area over there. We call that Tumblr. We stay away from there.
Everything's yours except for that.
Except for that.
No, the last Tumblr I was on with any sort of like extreme length of time was Disney Confessions, which is hilarious.
You know, okay, so we're on Lord of the Rings right now. I'll transition to this.
To Disney Confessions?
No, not Disney Confessions. Oh. I watched The Little Mermaid this morning. You know, I don't remember the end of Little Mermaid at all. I'm sitting there watching.
They win and everything works out.
Well, duh. I'm sitting there watching it with my daughter. She's like, I'm like lying on the couch and she's sitting on my stomach watching The Little Mermaid. And I'm just like, this movie's terrible. What an awful thing to teach young girls. Not only, hey, if you love this guy, change everything about yourself. And also, hey, you can make mistakes, but it's okay because your dad will take care of it.
I think the movie's a classic. Although she didn't turn into Seafoam like in the original story, so I mean, that's a thing.
And racial stereotypes are hilarious.
Which racial stereotype?
Sebastian the Crab.
Dude, he's just a jamming Jamaican crab. How is that a racial stereotype?
You know what?
He's a crab.
He's a crab.
He's not the crows from fucking Dumbo. I didn't see your son,
no crows impressions. Nope.
That's the fucking crows from Dumbo.
I will do micro impression off air. Anyway, transitioning on Lord of the Rings, because
ew, totally gross hair.
It's probably yours. You're the only one who uses that.
I don't have small white hair.
Well, you may have a little beard thing.
It's not white.
You got a little blondie.
Yeah, mustache. But that thing was stark white.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe my cat. But anyway, so watching the Hobbit 2 Electric Boogaloo or the Hobbiting, I totally wanted. I went home. And I looked at all my Lord of the Rings rule books for Games Workshop, Lord of the Rings.
You have Lord of the Rings rule books?
I do. Dude, you know me. I never get rid of anything. Never.
Yeah, but why do you have them in the first place?
Because I worked for the company for like 6 years.
I got away with owning none of them.
I just, you know me. It's
the worst.
So anyway, I was going through it and... You know what? We've gone over it numerous times. Lord of the Rings, I think, is a solid rule set. The stat lines really are what fucked it up.
Right. The stat lines are terrible.
Yeah. And I think part of it, too, is...
And they try to make the game too big.
Yeah. Well, it's not them. That's the players. In reading the rule book, it's totally a player thing to make that game as big as it is. Like, as you look at the rule books, they don't... The armies, like, that they show, like, this is what you should play with, your force you should play with, are not big. But everyone wants to make it bigger and bigger and bigger. I think that's just Games Workshop-itis. That's like 40K in fantasy-itis.
I mean, they still suggest like 40-some models.
Yeah, I mean...
Which is still way too big for that game. I think you want like a 5 to 15 tops.
I could... Yeah, 40-man is a little much, but I think only that would be like goblins and stuff like that. But I could see you playing that mostly with like 20, 25. I think that'd be fun. I mean, it depends. Like, you could play with 15, but
still
it's going to
fix the ruined stat lines.
It doesn't fix the ruined stat lines. However, I went back and read War of the Ring, mainly because of two things. One, we had a... there was a discussion on our Facebook page about it. They were talking about, you know, because I was lamenting, like, why aren't there good Lord of the Rings rules?
Yeah, War of the Rings is the good rules for Lord of the Rings.
War of the Rings is a fucking phenomenal rule set.
Yeah, it's Kings of War before Kings of War.
Yeah, and it's a better version of Kings of War.
I'd say it's a pre-Kings of War, because it has random charges, which is awful.
It's a fucking phenomenal rule set. Not only that, mind you. Okay, first of all, it's a phenomenal rule set in and of itself. It's solid. the stat lines of all of the figures are relatively solid. There might be like one or two bad things. I didn't deep dive into it, and you'll be like, well, this the men of Estragoth over here should not have this stat. But no, I didn't do that. But I looked over like majority. I'm like, oh, this is really fucking good.
The problem is you need infinite Lord of the Rings miniatures.
You don't, and that's the other thing. I was looking at it. I'm like, you could generally make about a small decent army. For me, I think I price checked it at $200. I mean, and that's not terrible.
But that's if you have all plastic faction.
Yeah, if you have like plastics and, you know, like very small amounts of metal.
Right, and not everything is represented equally in terms of the different factions.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, not every faction has like their ubiquitous choice as a plastic.
Yeah, I mean that's, you know, if you're gonna be that guy, you be that guy. You go over there in the corner and you masturbate and be that guy.
Be what guy?
The guy who's like, I'm going to play the really, you know, I'm going to play the men of Arnor who have an all-resin army of fine cast.
Well, no, I mean, because there's mainline factions in that game.
So just play mainline
factions. No, there are mainline factions in the game that don't have plastic because the models were made and intended to be played for the skirmish game, not for
I think War the only the one Ring. That's like that are like the Hobbits. Like if you're playing an all-Hobbit army.
Well.
I think that's like the only one right now.
That is a thing.
It is a thing.
I guess that is a thing.
But the
beasts one, the beast faction, the one that's like spiders and wargs and shit, that one's really hard to put together like for not infinite dollars.
Can we just change the name of our podcast to the beast faction?
The beast faction?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
I feel like weird about gushing about a Lord of the Rings rule set, but I'm like, holy fuck, I'm going to give this a try.
It's written by Alessio Cavatore, who writes very good rules.
Not only that, rule book, full color.
And it's not better than King's War. It's a pre-King's War. It's an alpha.
Okay, this is part of the... Okay, maybe not absolute rules-wise why it's better, but here's the reason why I think it's better. Because there's actual flavor to the armies. I could pick up that book, and I can notice, like, okay, these are Rohan, these are the Easterlings, these are orcs.
We have licensed.
I know, but...
but that has nothing to do with the rules.
I think that's what gives it an advantage over that, is because I can instantly get drawn into this world, because I'm familiar with these enough.
Right, but that doesn't make its rules better.
Well, I'm just saying, I didn't necessarily say it's a better...
You prefer the flavor.
I prefer the flavor.
Because it's Lord of the Rings, it's got a very extensive fucking background.
Yeah. Like, I understand that I'm not even going to make that. I'm just too hungover right now to make a good comparison for this.
It's got lots of flavor because it's Lord of the Rings. There's a well-established backstory. There are films. There are books. There's comics. There's, you know, fan fiction.
There's living card games.
And slash fiction.
All right. But, God, we've talked infinitely too much about Lord of the Rings right there. And also, the other thing, the models are ridiculously expensive. There we go.
Yes.
So
they're very pricey.
So go fuck. Actually.
The fucking barrel models. I thought I was just like, are you shitting me?
It's like, what, $70?
I don't know. It was a lot. It was fucking a lot for barrel models.
Ugh.
Quite miserable.
Yeah. However, I do like the fucking elves that they just put out. I really like those plastics. They're expensive for plastics, but they look really, 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 really pretty. Especially the Toriel model.
The last thing I saw was the barrels.
Evangeline Lilly, who is kind of the poor person's... what's the chick's name from Underworld? Kate Beckinsale. Kate Beckinsale? She's kind of like poor person's Kate Beckinsale, but I just have a crush on her, so... I don't know what that's
Kate Beckinsale?
No. Evangeline Lilly.
Oh.
She's in the new movie. She plays kind of like a weird pseudo love interest for...
Legolas?
Wait, Legolas is going to say something impressive and mysterious.
Legolas.
There's a storm coming. What the fuck does that mean?
He probably sees a fucking storm coming. Because he has elf eyes. So he's like, he sees really far away. And he's like, yep, there's totally rain coming. Like, he's just... telling you exactly what's going on.
He needs a mustache.
Who doesn't need
like
a mustache?
Like a pencil-thin mustache.
Who doesn't need... He needs a John Waters stash.
Yes. Yes! All right, so let's move on. You want to talk about Gaming Funder.
Yes, Gaming Funder.
Funder.
Should be Gaming Thunder. That's a good one.
Or Game Funder.
Yeah, or just Game Funder.
Finder.
That'd be good. Well, Game Finder wouldn't really be...
Gaming Finder?
That still wouldn't really be correct because it's not a searching program. It's a crowdfunding
game. Yeah. So basically someone was like, hey, Kickstarter's making money off this shit. I think I should make some money off this shit too. So he's like, listen, guys. You got this great thing going with Kickstarter where, you know, you got a lot of publicity and everything like that.
They should have called it Game Kicker. That's what they should have done.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take away all the publicity and of Kickstarter, and we're going to have something that's just for board games. Because for some odd reason, having something just for board games is going to make it better. For some odd reason.
Tabletop. So miniatures as well.
Yeah. Just for tabletops, you know.
I'll have to see. It could end up being better than Kickstarter.
Would it be funny if in order to get this running, he Kickstarted it?
No, seeing what their I guess their terms of service are is would make me feel that this is better or worse than Kickstarter.
Oh, he says computer games on here too, so I guess it's just all games.
So it's all games. All right. So with Kickstarter, you know, there's the whole Kickstarter is not a store kind of deal,
yeah,
where like people don't understand that they're not entitled to anything when they've backed a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
If you give them $1 million, you are entitled to zero things upon return.
Anybody who backed Relic Knights is well aware of that. Take that, Relic Knights.
Zing.
I still wish I backed that.
Can you really be a fan if you don't have the game yet?
I know.
you got to get the game first to be a fan.
Yeah.
You could be anticipating your becoming a fan.
Those models just look so cool to me. I don't know why, but continue.
So Kickstarter, not a store deal. So depending on how this one pans out, it could end up being different. Like maybe this one is like you have to guarantee the products, or like you have to pay the money back or something like that. You know, that, who knows? We'll have to see.
Yeah, tits are GTFO.
What?
That could be in the terms of service.
I don't think that has to do with anything about games and Kickstartering and crowdfunding.
Yeah, probably not. You're right. Take it back. Dicks or GTFO.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Unless it's like a major change in terms of service, like what would be the advantage in doing that? Because this would be like what?
The nice thing about it is it's going to be all games, because Kickstarter is yet to actually implement any sort of useful searching tool.
Yeah.
Unless you know the name of the game you're looking for,
yeah,
which you may or may not, because you're probably going, oh, I want to see what games are coming up, and just like,
in all honesty, KickTrack is a better way of doing Kickstarter than Kickstarter is.
Well, KickTrack just follows, and
I know, but KickTrack is a better way of searching for stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's a better, like, that's how I get everything from Kickstarter, is just going to KickTrack.
Yeah, that's a very, very good website. I love KickTrack.
Yeah.
but my favorite thing to do is the guaranteed Kickstarter success, doing the KickTrack on the first day, because it just does the straight linear math. So you're like, it's like projected to make $77 million. You're just like,
I wonder if anybody actually like gets like really into that.
The tracking?
When they look at the tracking, they're like, we're going to make $77 million, Steve.
The KickTrack flat out fucking says, like, it's not really useful data until you're about halfway through your Kickstarter.
Yeah.
77 million? Yes! We're rich! We're super rich. He just takes out a bunch of loans.
And then
you get the terror that came to Atlantic City.
Yeah, I like KickTrack. I like Kickstarter. And I think it's smart. Like, I like the idea that if it doesn't go through, you don't have to pay any money. Not that it's ever really had that big of an issue. There has been many things that haven't made their Kickstarter, any big games or anything like that haven't made it. There's been very few. Exilus is like the one that I could think of off the
top. Which is surprising because their goal was so low.
Or the Gates of Antares.
Battle for the Gates of Fartares. Yes! I got fart in there.
Oh,
turns out nobody wanted that game.
But aside from that,
There's been a few, like that Thon game, which was really sweet and like made its goal, but then was canceled. You know, there was that.
Yeah,
because a bunch of people were canceling their backing. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird, and I'd be interested to see, because right now you already have Kickstarter, you have Indiegogo, but Indiegogo is that even if it doesn't make its goal or whatever, the person who does it keeps the money.
Not always.
That's a
selectable feature.
Yeah.
And you can see that before you pledge. You can be like, if this doesn't happen, he keeps my money. Then I won't pledge.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. But Indiegogo is a much better for, like, charities and shit like that.
There's been some pretty good... It's good for foreign gaming companies, apparently.
But now that Kickstarter is letting you use bison dollars in your thing, so it makes everything infinitely more difficult for me as the American, who is the most important person in the world, to do these Kickstarters. But I got to look at, like, what does this squiggly line mean? It looks like a 2, but it's got, like, lines in it. And I'm like, this is stupid.
Just be glad it's not yen.
This is stupid.
Just be glad it's not yen. You'd be like, 100 billion yen? That's like, $10? I don't know.
How much sushi do I get for this yen?
You get quite a lot. You get fucking quite a lot of sushi.
What is it? What is yen? Is this like rice? Is it like 100 billion rice? That's what I get for this? Ah, those crazy Asians. That tells you. Quiet dad. But the, well, speaking of Kickstarter, at least I wanted to talk about two things that popped up on Kickstarter.
Steampunk Palin.
What? Oh, yeah, Steampunk Palin. Yeah. The mobile RPG module that they posted on our Facebook page.
I linked that.
Yeah, and we linked it. Aftermath Mods. They put it up there. It is a beautiful little set.
Yeah, it's great.
I would. I don't know if they're going to be doing it outside of the Kickstarter, but I would definitely. And unfortunately, we didn't know about it until after our last podcast, so we didn't get a chance to mention it. But I would totally look them up and see if you can get one made up. Especially, like I said for myself, you know, you know me, Steve. Like, I'm the guy who likes to have the fully detailed models and the dungeons. And, like, you know, it's like, we have a full dungeon set up on a table. And then, like okay, we're ready for our campaign. And then all the players are like, we avoid the dungeon. Yeah.
Like, we don't go.
Rocks fall.
Everyone dies. Now, your next adventure group, do they go into the dungeon?
But I know you're a minimalist guy. This is something that's like straight up for you.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, like a small little box you can bring anywhere, open it up, rearrange it depending on
with
the room.
With magnetized walls.
Yeah, magnetized walls, magnetized little playing pieces. And which I'm sure awesome. You could customize it any way you want.
Oh, yeah. And then you can combine it with like Aaliyah Tools who offers the magnet bases for D&D figures. So you can magnetize all of your D&D plastic figures and just slap them down on there. And you can carry it around. You could actually, the thing that's really awesome about it is because it's all magnetized, you can end the combat. Like, say you need to end the session and, you know, rather than having to like put everything away and then like try and remember where everything was, you're like, ah, fuck. Or leave it out and take up a bunch of space. You just put the lid on it, take it home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's saved. You know, everything is there. You don't need to worry about it flying
save
around.
Save your progress without having to enter in a code.
Exactly. This is the future, baby.
This is the future. It's the future of tabletop gaming right here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a really beautiful set, and I don't know if they're going to keep on continuing it. I'm sure they would.
I'm sure they will.
So
they made their goal, so I'm sure they will. The sweet thing, too, is that it has a sci-fi.
Oh, wait, you know what? It has 12 days to go, so this will go. I thought it was ended already.
That's awesome.
Yeah, go there and pledge a couple bucks to get it.
The sci-fi walls are really cool. I like the wood-burned images on the boxes as well. And the options are really cool, too, because you can have the double box where you can make a double-sized board, or you can just have the normal box where it's one board lid.
For $75, it's a fucking no-brainer.
Yeah, it's very cheap. For what it is, and
I'd actually, you know what I kind of would like to get on there? I would like to get, like, if I got this for myself, I would like to get the Game Classy logo on the top.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
The skull tank?
Get the skull tank with the skull. No, the real one that, you know, I designed. I put that on
the Planet Arbitrary logo?
No, the Planet Arbitrary is a circle. I did one with the dodecahedron.
Oh, that's right. You made it to D20.
Yes.
I forgot. I just see it. I my brain instantly just goes like, it's the Planet Arbitrary logo. Yeah. I don't even.
I modded it. So
I forgot about
I
that.
I added lines. I took away the circle and I made it straight lines.
I geometried it.
I geometried. You got geometried.
Geometrized it.
Yeah. And seriously. And speaking of, shit, I should have did the other one first then. But Titanforge has their next Kickstarter out. They're finally doing the steampunk dwarves.
And as I said, the dwarves are the only thing at this point where you can do steampunk and be okay.
What about Victorian gentlemen?
Definitely not.
Come on, though.
How much gas mileage does your Zeppelin get?
What is this gasoline that you speak of? But yeah, Victorian science fiction, you can get away with it for steampunk.
No.
It's a whole genre in and of itself.
And it's poop.
It's poop.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, steampunk is shit. It's fucking over. It's done. Like, it's killed. Steampunk Palin alone should show you that steampunk is fucking dead.
Yeah.
Except for dwarves, where you're allowed to cheat the system because dwarves plus steampunk is always sweet. And it's actually even better if they're in a normal fantasy world, but the dwarves have steampunk. That's sweet, because it's like their technology's awesome, you know, because everyone else is living in mud huts with swords and they've got fucking tanks.
It's like, oh no, here comes the dwarf army.
Fucking powerhouse.
But no, this is a really fucking sweet army, and I would highly recommend that if you're playing dwarves for Kings of War, you're interested in playing dwarves for the upcoming Warhammer 8th edition book, or playing a better edition of fantasy of any sort of way, or playing any sort of game whatsoever that involves dwarves, fucking look at this, because they're fucking awesome.
Yeah, they're very sweet.
Titanforge, and I've talked about them on the podcast before. They did the alternative armies, undead.
The Orc Undead.
Orc Undead, and they also did a Ogre Pirates that I really like.
The Gator Rider ones are pretty awesome.
Oh, every model in that range is fucking beautiful. So I would definitely recommend it. I mean, it's not cheap, mind you. For $200, you get, like, I think I did the math, you could probably end up with, like, three units of 20 and maybe a War Machine and a character for, like, $200. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, if you're playing, you'd use them as elite troops, not as your core.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could do some cool stuff with them. I'm not going to pledge until I see some of the mock-ups of some of the other stuff that's going to be coming out, but I will be pledging.
Like the bosses?
Yeah, I mean, like, some of the stuff that's on there, I'm interested in seeing what they're going to have. That's why I usually pledge late on a Kickstarter.
Did the dwarves ever get a 7th edition book?
No, they were actually had 2 6th edition books. Their last 6th edition book kind of counted as the first 7th edition, but it was before 7th edition.
Yeah, because that book's pretty old by now.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even think about it. The fucking champion of the champions of draws, never winning a game ever.
Yeah, the 6th 7th edition book is weird. It's not really good enough for 7th edition, but it's way too good for 6th edition.
I don't know, they never really were good. That's the problem with dwarves. Dwarves are draw. Like, if you play dwarves, you're going to get a draw.
Yeah.
Like, always. That's the best you can do.
Yeah, a 40K, you know, fantasy, what they got, I think they got Bretonians coming. Like, dwarves are coming up next, and then it's Bretonians. And then 9th edition, so wood elves.
The Bretonian wood elf connection? The Boogaloo?
The Bretonian wood elf. So anyway, going back, because as we should have done this first and then did the D&D and tabletop one next, D&D put out their big announcement that everybody already knew but no one really cared about, is that D&D Next will be coming out during the summer.
Which probably just means Gen Con. Like, they should have just said Gen Con. I assume they didn't say Gen Con just in case they cock it up and don't have it ready for Gen Con.
I don't know if it'll be Gen Con. It might be earlier than Gen Con. It might be Origins or something like that.
Nah, no. Nobody's going to debut a real game at Origins.
Debut an or game at Origins.
Yeah, nobody debuts real games at Origins. They debut, like, a game that's already been debuted, technically.
Yeah, I guess. There's some cool stuff that sounds like they're coming out with it. I mean, of course, you always... Fucking, this is the things I fucking hate about.
Dritz?
I hate about game. This is what I hate about fucking gamers.
Dritz?
It's like, oh, hey, you know, we're doing a new edition of Dungeons & Dragons. And before the game even comes out, everyone's like, it sucks. It's like, we haven't...
I'm more of a mind to say who cares at this point. Yeah. Like, it's too little too late.
Yeah, but you know what the thing... no one says who cares. Like, if more people said who cares, I'd probably be okay with it. But people are like, oh, it's gonna suck.
What? Probably.
Why? You don't even know yet. Yeah, we've seen the playtest versions and the beta versions. We don't know what's coming. They're like, it's not maximized for fighting or whatever.
D&D's always maximized
for crits.
Yeah, D&D is always maximized for fighting.
Yeah.
Once you get to once you hit 3.0, always maximized for fighting.
I did hear though that they are
peasants.
They are going back to the different worlds and everything. They're bringing back all of them. Eberron, what's the other ones? Greyhawk.
Neversoft.
Neversoft.
What? They got the vampires and the Strads. Oh. Castle Neversoft.
Ravenloft. Bringing back Ravenloft.
I believe you meant to say Neversoft, sir.
Blah!
Whatever, if it's not Dark Sun, I don't care.
Yeah, bringing back Dark Sun.
Yeah, I we'll see. They're moving away from 4th edition's WoW World of Warcraft combat, so that's a thing.
World of Warcraft combat. Hey, we're gonna get some turtle tongues and exchange them for Scroll of Binding.
Cooldowns.
Cooldowns! Speaking of cooldowns and Scrolls of Binding and all that fun stuff, Steve made a snowman outside. A snow golem, if you will.
A snolem.
A snolem?
Yeah.
Was Frosty's snowman a snow golem?
He might have been a really shitty one. They didn't even give him good arms.
They gave him a hat of, like, living flesh or something like that. And
human heart. They jammed the human heart into the snow, okay. Covered it up, and then the hat activated the heart, so then he was a snow golem. Yeah, but he was really shitty, because he was just pretty much, I guess, directed to be like, oh, hey, kids, I'm a snowman.
When your weakness is heat, not fire. Heat? You're a shitty snow golem.
Yeah, he must have been made by an apprentice. Yeah, that's my guess. A real one would just be this, you know, ice titan.
Yeah.
And, you know, heat would be fine. You'd be able to walk in the sun.
Yeah.
But fire would take it down.
Yeah, like an extreme amount of fire. Not just like fireball, but like you have to cast
probably magic fire.
Like wall of fire around it.
Yeah, well, magic fire. You know, fireball would be fine as long as it's cast.
Yeah, but even if it's a fireball, that would hurt him a little bit. He'd be like,
yeah, take some damage. Yeah. But then he'd shoot icicles at you or something.
Yeah, then you'd have to roll a dodge.
Yeah, and then he'd capture you in an ice cage and throw you on his back and, like, walk back to his master with you stuck in the ice cage. And you're like, fuck, ice cage.
What do you do now?
My only weakness.
Can we pick this up next week? I gotta go. I got work tomorrow morning. This is, like, what time is it? It's, like, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning? It's 10 o'clock, Joe. I gotta go to sleep, man.
You have no dedication. Your character perishes in the ice cage.
No! Whatever, I'm going home.
I loot his corpse!
God damn it.
He's got that cloak I wanted!
He called dibs.
Yes.
So yeah, the D&D next, it looks like it could be interesting. I don't know.
I prefer to call it the next D&D.
So anyway, yeah, that's about the D&D. Nothing else new on the D&D. That was just like the big announcement, right?
Nope, that's it.
That's it.
Dick and Dicks.
Dick and Dicks. D&D, Dick and Dicks. I have some sad news in terms of gaming.
Is it about Dick and Dicks?
It's not about Dick and Dicks. Oh. Well, technically it is about Dicks because it's about the Games Workshop bunker in Chicago closing. So.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. And, you know, I said this before. You know, this is where Steve and I, well, I didn't get my start there. I guess technically I did.
Yeah, you started Red Top. Or not Red Top. What
Randhurst. Randhurst is where I got trained. That was my first store I actually worked at was...
Randhurst!
Oh, that's the place where I worked without pants for like a couple hours a day.
Nice.
You know why? Because no one went in that store. But yeah, the bunker's closing. January 26th is the last day, that Sunday. And they are moving to a location in downtown Downers Grove that has no parking. And it is going to be closed once a month for a car show. So there you go. Eh. Yeah. Pretty much, but you know, I'm sad about it. I don't know about you. I know you don't go in there, but
I haven't been there forever.
I like going in there. I like looking at the new minis because you know what? It's fucking Games Workshop, so it's not like I'm ever gonna be able to go to an independent retailer and ever see anything that's new on the fucking shelves. Oh, what about all this cool new stuff that's come out? And they're like, we haven't gotten it yet.
Because Games Workshop doesn't ship them their product.
Yeah, because Games Workshop doesn't want us to sell their shit. Would you like some Space Marines?
Got plenty of Marines.
No, I like to see the new Empire figures.
We don't carry fantasy.
We don't carry fantasy.
No one wants it ever.
We're part of the 40K master gaming race.
Well, as far as miniatures games, there really is no comparison to anything except for just, like, it's 40K. It's just insane. It's so big.
Yeah.
No, the closest you can get is War Machine and Hordes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the closest, and it's still pretty, there's still a pretty big gap.
There's a huge gap. It's...
Yeah, like, but War Machine
and
Hordes...
It's like porn star vagina gap.
But again, War Machine and Hordes are more popular than fantasy. So, like, that should tell you the fucking gap of fantasy and 40K is an entire game systems.
In America. Well, we gotta comment that because we do have European listeners.
America.
We put on our waistcoats. You want to put on a waistcoat, Steve?
I was like, is that a vest? It's a fucking vest. Well, I thought maybe there was something like special about it, but it's just a fucking vest.
Yeah, it's like when they call like, you know, like, I mean, I guess strollers
it,
a pram.
Because it looked like
a lorry.
Well, no, it looked like a longer vest. Because like it didn't end at his midsection, where you would think like the idea of a waistcoat would be where it ends at your midsection.
Start wearing a waistcoat.
It was actually lower than that.
Yeah.
Like it was down to like the groin.
The groiner.
Yeah, it was down to the groin.
The groinal area.
So I guess I don't really know.
I guess what I say is I know nothing of fashion.
Maybe there are two things. Maybe a waistcoat and a vest.
Can I wear a vest things. And a waistcoat?
Like a vesticoat?
A vest. Oh, a waist-a-vest?
A vesticoat. I believe a vesticoat is the way to go.
Okay, a vesticoat, yeah. I'm just spitballing. I'm throwing out ideas. We're not finalizing anything yet.
Vesticoat. Make it happen.
Make it happen. British are so quaint.
See, using the word quaint is quaint.
Earl Grey, hot. All right, so what else do
we have? You're like the buzzing of flies to him.
What else do we got to talk about, Steve, in terms of some gaming stuff?
My Little Ponies.
Oh, the My Little Pony stuff. Why don't you go ahead and give us a little... Okay, so someone is really adamant about us reviewing My Little Ponies, the card game. I think his name is Adam.
I think it was Chris.
Chris?
I don't know.
I don't
remember. I should have looked, but I didn't.
Yeah, very
could be Eric, actually.
Eric, you're right. It is Eric.
Eric.
Is wanted to know
I got it right.
About us reviewing My Little Pony, the card game. Apparently, Steve went to a event for it.
You happened to be at a place that had an event. I was here.
Yeah?
I was here.
Yeah?
And I played.
Someone was telling me they went to an event where... Well, they were at a gaming place where they had an event for it, and the place was just jam-packed full of dudes. Now, here's the thing about My Little Pony. I don't like it. I'll just state that right off the bat. I watched an episode to kind of see what everything was about, and I'm like, it's...
I could only get through half of the first episode.
It was...
I was watching it with that one over there.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I'd just like to point out that I also...
Well,
we couldn't get through the first half of the first episode.
To put it also through perspective, I was watching it with my daughter, so don't think like I'm sitting there watching it like with a notepad, like I'm going to study this. No, I was just sitting there with my daughter, seeing if she would like it.
Well, no, I figured I'd give it a shot because it's super popular.
Yeah,
and you know I like a lot of the super popular cartoons, like Adventure Time and Regular Show. I'm like these, you know, those shows are great. They have a lot of like, you know. Phineas and Ferb. There's a lot of like over the head humor for the youngins watching the show. So I was like, oh, maybe this will be, you know, kind of in that same vein.
Yeah.
Where it's like a kid's show that I enjoy. No, not at all.
And here's the thing with bronies is like, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, that culture war has shifted so much to the side of the nerd. So that in order to set yourself apart as in the nerd community, like it used to be, like back in the day, like if I went out in front of all the kids in my like 6th, 7th, 8th grade class and I said like, I really like Star Wars, I would get the shit beat out of me. And, you know, and this is an extreme example because the school I went to was not very nerd. It was all...
Yeah, so that's pretty weird because every single person I knew, like not my friends, not just my friends, but every single person I knew, like they all like Star Wars.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't beat the shit out of me, but they'd be like...
like they all like Star Wars.
They'd be like, nerd!
Yeah, that never happened to me, ever.
I got it a lot when I was growing up. And it's part of the reason why I hate my hometown, or where I grew up. But nowadays, it's shifted so much to this that it's like I can't get that feeling of like, it's cool that I like this and only I like this. You know, it's weird to say because I don't want to be like hipster about it.
You're upset that you don't have a special club anymore?
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, that's totally hipster about it.
Yeah.
You're upset that you don't have a special club. It's fine but that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's because I used to have that. I used to be like if I found someone who likes Star Wars, like when I actually went to like a real high school and I was like, I like Star Wars, and someone else would be like, I like Star Wars too, and I was like, let's be friends.
Yeah, see, that's a totally different experience for me because I'd been like tabletop gaming since third grade.
Yeah.
So like everyone I knew, like there was then, and I don't know, my school experience was, I hear all this shit and I see shit from like other people and I'm like, was my school, did the schools I go to were they just this weird alternate dimension?
Sometimes people get lucky with that, you know? It's like you just maybe had a really lucky experience, or maybe I just had a really unlucky experience.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, a little bit of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Because that's the thing, like in middle school, that was like there were kids playing Magic. Like at the lunch tables, there's like three fucking lunch tables of all kids playing Magic.
No.
And then
they were all about baseball cards at mine.
Well, the thing that was funny is like 1 year later, the very next year, there was like half the people playing Magic. And then the people who used to play Magic were like, you still play Magic? That's totally gay. And it's like you were just playing with us last year. Yeah. Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
We're collecting Donruss cards this year.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I got the Allen and Ginner. Yeah, I don't know.
I got a Ken Griffey Rookie Jr.
Yeah. But I mean, I would like all of my friends throughout of... all of my school experience, we always did the, like, we were playing Rifts. We played a lot of Rifts. And then D&D. Like, Rifts and D&D. That's what we did. And then for a while, there was White Wolf with the vampires and the mummies and the mages.
Yeah. You know, and it might also, you know, on my part, I did go to school in the south side of Chicago in a very, very white trashy neighborhood, and it was white trash is not, well, I guess it was white trashy. I'll just call it white trashy. And it was, so it was like, it was all sports ball all the time, you know, that sort of stuff. And like, if
they talk about sportsing really hard,
sports real hard. And so like, that's why for a long time I have a pretty good grasp of sports, and like I could watch.
I mean,
sports.
I was
and,
on the yeah. football team
yeah.
and the wrestling team in high school.
Fucking, I played basketball in eighth grade, Steve. I'm terrible at basketball, but I wasted an entire year trying to fit in and play basketball until I said, what the fuck am I doing?
I'm terrible at this.
I'm terrible at this. Why am I forcing myself to do this? But besides the point, but this is getting back to what the topic was about, instead of me just complaining about my childhood. It's like, this is how, like, looking at people who are really into My Little Ponies, which are called bronies, the guys who are really into My Little Pony are called bronies. Like, that, when I look at them, I imagine that that's what the kids in my classroom were thinking when they were looking at me, like, what the fuck is wrong with this person?
Yeah,
liking the Star Wars?
But the popularity of My Little Pony
is huge.
Huge. It's like way bigger than anything else
right
now.
But that's kind of like, I don't want to go beat this person up because they like My Little Pony, but I can't understand it, and it's fine. I'm just going to let them exist in their little world.
No, it's huge.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, it's so big. And
I think it does have a
cross demographic, but apparently one of the things about the
show.
As
a father of a daughter, I'm a little worried. But aside from that.
One of the things about the show is apparently, like, a bunch of people latched onto it right away, like when the show was new.
Yeah,
and they
really like horse vagina.
No, they really the creators responded to the fact that all of these people were liked the show and so on, and they put more like in jokes and like winks at you in the later seasons. Like as they go on, they made it more like,
well, they made
more fan service.
Yeah.
Well, they also realized like, oh shit, this
I
is
love
the
fan service.
Well, they're like, this is the demographic of people that who watch this show, and they're like, well, I guess we need to put more fedoras on the horses.
What is so, that, Steve? Does that horse have a neck beard, Steve? Steve.
Nope.
By the way, so,
just fedoras.
Yeah, just fedoras. Yeah, but so anyway, you tried out the card game. They put out
was
it a living
card
game or a collectible?
No, it is a collectible card game.
Okay, old school.
Boosters and starter decks.
Ooh,
yeah,
old school.
So mechanically, you have a main character.
Hold on a
which
second,
is
I'm just gonna pass
spelled
out.
MANE.
Oh, that's bad.
It's two-sided.
Yeah,
And they have a special skill or ability.
Is it called Space Clop?
There's two decks of problems, which are how you score points. How you beat the other player is to get a certain number of points first. It's like 15 or whatever. And you can play supporting characters who have they have requirements and skills. So like it's all color-based. So like you have a yellow character. And on the objective, on the problem, it'll say you need 3 yellow points and then 2 not yellow points. And all of the cards have a value. So, like, a yellow card might be worth 1 yellow point or 2 or 3, whatever. So you need to meet those requirements to solve said problem. When you solve the problem, you score it, you get points. And then it doesn't go away until your opponent also defeats the problem. Then you go to the next one. So if you solve a problem and you kind of have it on lockdown, you keep getting points over and over and over. And then your main character has a superior skill. When something happens, you flip them to the other side and they get, like, buffed. And they're really strong. Now, mechanics-wise, if you reskinned this game as a dungeon-crawling game where your character is like a wizard who's like, you know, Radagast.
Yellow wizard needs food badly.
Radagast the Blue.
Yeah.
And then when you activate his like requirement, you flip him around and he's like Radagast the Mighty.
Yeah.
And you could have the same exact mechanics the way the game's played precisely. You generate points each turn. You play him like mana. There's an action economy. I think you could make it a game that, like, the average nerd will be like, "Wow, that game's pretty fun."
That's pretty fun. I bought a couple starters and.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't think it would be able to. You wouldn't be able to sell it as a collectible game if it wasn't My Little Pony.
Yeah,
because like its mechanics they're solid. They're like it's a solid mechanically done game.
Yeah,
you could sell it as a boxed card game with expansion packs, if it was like a dungeon crawling game or about like or sci-fi even. Yeah. You can make it.
I mean, you could make it. You could reskin it as anything, as you were right. saying.
If you reskin it as anything, it would not work as a CCG because it doesn't have the popularity of the brand. But it's not terrible, and I think that's the most important thing I took away from it. I was like, this game actually isn't terrible, because I assumed it was just gonna be like.
Will you continue to play it, Steve?
Here you go. No, I don't own any cards for it. I'm like, I'm not interested in like participating in it further. But I
are you sure?
Yeah,
I don't want to become part of that cult.
Oh, I like to play everything.
Yeah,
like I like to try everything.
Okay. When is League of Legends gonna have its own card game?
I'm kind of surprised it doesn't already.
I'm really surprised too. I was actually thinking that. Like, by the way, if you'd like some more interesting views on League of Legends, you can listen to Pat's Retro Game Review podcast.
Look, I'm gonna spoil it for everyone. Pat loves League of Legends.
Oh my god, I've never seen a person gush more over League of Legends on a podcast.
Yeah, Pat B, if you're listening, I think you have a problem. And you need to seek help because I think you're addicted to League of Legends.
Yeah. Or LOL, as it's called in the communities.
LOL.
All right. So
my verdict on the My Little Pony card game is I think it's an easily accessible game for anyone, any age. There you go. You have it.
Like, I wouldn't mind, like, if my daughter liked it, but my daughter doesn't even like that show. My daughter doesn't like much. Like, she's still a little young for a lot of TV shows.
Is your kid, like, 3?
Yeah. So she was.
But I'm just gonna play a card game. She's 3.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is like my daughter, you know, is not even a My Little Pony fan. She likes stuff like bad kids shows, like little kids shows, like Sesame Street.
If she's 3, isn't her number one interest not pooping herself anymore?
You know, that's not even interesting to her. She just doesn't care about that. She's
just
like,
poops herself.
Just poops herself. Joe Kidd moment right here. How about this? I'll share this with you. So my daughter.
Now I'm gonna take a nap.
Yeah, my daughter really interested in using the potty. However, has no interest in actually pooping in the potty. She just likes to go sit on the potty, and that's all she does. I'm like, these are terrible, terrible habits. I wonder where she's learning this from.
You just need to do it like a cat, where you line
put the mirror.
You line the toilet with something like a Saran wrap or whatever, and then you just put her on there and you make her sit there, and then you train her to eventually realize that that's where he needs to poop, and then they'll just wander over and poop in it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm never training
the litter box. That's what it is. Yeah. You put the litter box with like Saran wrap under there.
I asked my wife if I could use a litter box, and she told me no. So there you go. There.
Well, then you just need to do it in a clandestine fashion, then.
Yeah. I was going to line the floor with paper and just let her run pantless.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
Like newspapers?
Yeah, newspapers. Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying is, like, when my daughter gets old enough, I would like to have some games that I can play with her. What's the minimum age you think would be good for that?
For, like, a CCG?
Yeah, well, or the My Little Pony game in particular. Is it good for ages 8
to 80?
I
don't know a lot about children because I hate them. But I think probably 7, I think, is the youngest.
So 7, not probably. 8 to 80? Is it all Milton Bradley games?
Is that their thing?
I don't, 8 to 80? It's like...
If you're older than 80, they're like, you're too old for our game. They push you up.
But I like my tiddlywinks.
It's like, the fuck out of here, Grandpa.
Let's bring back marbles. Can we do marbles? Maybe jacks. Bring
marbles
back jacks.
Jacks suck too.
Come on,
I'm trying to bring back things that suck.
What you want
to bring back something that sucks? At least bring back Pog, because you can be fucking ironic about it.
Man, once you get foursies, you're on top of it.
I got my sweet My Little Pony Slammer.
Get an Aggie out there, play some marbles.
Fucking Aggie. Marbles. Oh god.
Remember when they tried to bring back marbles for a while, like, and putting like little like superhero pictures inside the marble.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. But you know what were sweet? Spinges. Spinges were sweet.
Spinges were sweet.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, let's bring back spinges. Actually, they have those now. They have those, oh, what the fuck are those things? Because they're like tops.
Beyblades?
Baneblades.
Beyblades are not Baneblades. That's a 40K
yeah,
test.
I know what
it's
you're talking
about. Bay.
Bay.
Those are not spinges,
No,
sir.
They're not, because they're big.
Yeah, spinges are wee, which is awesome.
Yeah, except for the fact that you could, like, swallow them and easily have a spinja go through your colon.
Well, yeah, but that's why you don't eat them. You don't want to eat the spinja. You want to battle with the spinja.
Joe, where's your spinjas?
In the toilet.
he's on a fantastic voyage through my colon
he's
right now.
He's in the toilet. That's where he is.
Wait, hold on. We're gonna battle right now.
You somehow fire it out with the spinning force.
Right.
Did you swallow the launcher as well? So you just like, you clench your ass at the precise moment and fire a spinja out of your rectum. It's your special ability. You're a superhero now. You're the Spinja Master. They'll be like, "We've got you tied up, Spinja Master. There's no way you'll be able. There's no way you'll be able to launch your spinjas to save you.
Why are you why are you bearing down right now?
Why is your face turning red? He's fired spinjas out of his asshole.
If you're not aware of this, go to www.google.com and type in spinjas and anus, and you can get an idea of what we're talking about.
Spinjaster.
Spinjaster.
And you can have tons of horrible spinning puns, like, whoa, this looks like a spinzaster. If it's a disaster.
I got
what good, you get it? Right.
Yeah, all right. I got that.
Good.
So do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I put a real spin on it. He's an anchorman. That's his alternate identity. He's an anchorman.
Oh, okay.
That story has some serious spin on it. And he winks at the camera, and they're like, why are you winking?
There's one guy sitting at home going, he's the Spinja guy.
Yeah, he's the Spinja guy. I know it.
Why does he keep saying spin?
Oh, look at that fat squirrel. That squirrel was the best. I want to go feed that squirrel some cashews.
So do you have any other games or anything you want to talk about this week?
Rampage is a game that just came out recently.
Oh yeah, I played that.
With the one with the meeple towers?
Yeah, that's the one I played with Will Wheaton. When I back at Gen Con, when I was so hopped up on medication that I won a chance to play that game with Will Wheaton. It was a fun game. It was really good. For those who don't know, it's basically a board and you set up all these towers using meeples as
you
like
build the meeple towers.
In support of like the is the supports for the tower. I mean, you're actually building like cardboard little buildings, and then everybody
it's cardboard tiles.
Yeah, cardboard tiles.
Row meeples, tile. Row meeples, tile.
And you get everybody gets a little like
wood
like
dinosaur,
dinosaur
man.
Little wood dinosaur man, and you have different things to doing to knocking down the tiles. Like you could either like kick a token and try and knock it down, like your guy's kicking a bus. Well, that's what you do. You pick up these buses and everything else. You have the ability to pick up other. Other monsters and throw them at the towers, and you're actually like really doing this stuff. And so every time like a tower falls over and a couple meeples fall down or whatever have you, you get to pick them up, and that's how many points you get. So after you pick
you
up,
you also blow on the towers too.
You could blow on with like a straw. You go and you go falls over. It's fun. It's that's a really good little kids game. Like if you could play with someone like between, you know, the ages of, I don't know, 5 and 10. That's a really fun game. I mean, the kids, of course, are going to choke on the meeples, but that's besides the point.
That's just upside.
But if you collect like certain, like each meeple's a separate color that represents all the colors of the rainbow. So if you get 4 Asian meeples, about that, I mean, the yellow meeples, you actually get like a bonus. If you pick up like 4 Native American, the red meeples, you get that, you know. So you do get like bonuses for them. Will Wheaton will obviously cut that part out of when he reviews that game on Tabletop. But if he does say that, you remember, Joe from Game Classy gave him that idea. I just remember when I did this, the designer is Swedish or like some fucking Norwegian or, you know, somewhere from some Viking guy. He had like the big beard. He's like, no, this is the way we play the game. You know, it's like, are you the Swedish chef? Because if you are, I love you.
You didn't say that because he would have just torn your skull in half. He was barehanded. He just, funk, his fingers are buried into your skull. You're like, I think there are fucking fingers in my head. And then he just tears your skull in half.
No, one of two things would have happened. One, he would have started into a death metal song, like just like, or he would have transformed into a bear and then eaten me. Those are one of the two things.
Your head still would be exploded at the end of any of these things.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe some like goblins come out and take me to like the weird Norwegian underworld.
Nice.
While he's singing the song. And I'm like,
you're like, help me! And there's like, there's no help for you. There's no help for you.
The dark elves come out. And that's what Americans think about the Norse.
I think that's just fact.
Yeah, but that's a really fun game, especially for families. It's a really, really good family game. I don't know how good of a party game would be because, like, there has to be at least one sober.
It's 4 players.
Yeah, but there has to be at least one sober adult that doesn't lose all the pieces.
It's also only 4 players.
Yeah.
Generally, 4 players is not a party.
It's not a really good party game for that fact, but it's a really good family game. I would recommend that one. Anything else?
Yeah, that came out on Monday.
Anything else? Because I just... want to do a brief thing about since the end of the year, just give kind of like a shout out to like what's my worst and favorite game of the year.
Oh yeah, the mini Arby's.
A mini Arby's, yeah.
A Marby's.
I don't want to go too far into it, but I definitely wanted. I don't know if you have like a worst of and a best of that you want to maybe give this year.
Yeah, I'll give the props and slops, but you can
the
you
props
can go,
and slops.
Yeah, you can go first.
All right, my first slop actually. For my game, I think I'm more than like worst game. It's just biggest disappointment is gonna go to the Firefly game from Gale Force 9.
Terrible.
It's a bad game. It's
slops. It's slops. Starting with slops.
There's a couple reasons. One, it's coming off of Gale Force 9's other game, which is Spartacus, which was a fantastic game. Well, it still is a fantastic game. The expansion, I don't know. The expansion really didn't do it any justice, but the original base game was a lot of fun. They put out Firefly, and I was like, oh, this could be good. And it's one of the most boring games I've ever played in my life. Debuted with a lot of fanfare at Gen Con. A lot of people were excited about it. It's boring as fuck. But it's not a bad game. It's not bad by any stretch. It's just boring. It's not as fun as it could be. And I think the problem is a lot of it has Firefly attached to it. So there's those assholes who are still wearing brown coats after the show's been canceled for 15 years going, bring back Firefly! Do it! Do it! No one cares at this point. It had a great run of episodes. Just let it go. Let it go. And they're all like, well, you're a stupid Ching Chao Pai whatever that they always say because they always throw the Asian thing
on
there.
Oh, the Chinese swears.
Yeah, yeah. You're a Mao Zedong.
They're mostly saying shit like fuck, shit,
yeah,
piss.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
yeah, right. I know that. But I'm just saying they're all like stupid Chiang Kai-shek, Mao Zedong, Dao Xiaoping. And they would be like that. And,
I don't know. There was the movie. That seemed fine.
Yeah, the movie was fine. It was the thing's over. It's over, Steve. Aside from that. So what's your slop?
Well, you got to give me your prop now.
Oh, I got to give you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, my prop of the year.
I'm going to go prop and slop. You went slop and now prop.
Okay, so okay, this is kind of cheating because it's a game that's come out a couple years ago, but it's just it's Bolt Action. Bolt Action has fucking sold me on it. It sold me on something that I don't think I would ever have gotten sold on. One, a historical World War II game that basically plays like Warhammer 40K. Those are things that I know you would be like, that sounds awful. And to me, that sounds awful. But going through it, playing the rulebook, playing a couple games, the game is fun. It's fun as hell. It's like playing World War II, the movie. I recommend it. A lot of expansion books have come out. And like almost all the expansion books have come out this year. Go look them up. Go find them. It's great. Not very expensive because you can get cheap World War II figures from anywhere generally if you look for them. I recommend it. That's like my prop of the year for Warlord right there.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
My props are going to, same thing, a game that's been out for a while, but my props are going to Mage Wars.
Yeah, well, you, after last week's discussion on it.
Yes, the game is incredible. So I'm definitely throwing my props to Mage Wars for sure. I think the game is excellent. And
I was looking at your box and I noticed that there was a big hole cut into the side. I was wondering what you were using that for.
Oh, that's just how I hold the box. Oh. I was gonna put my genitals in there.
Oh, okay.
But like paper cuts, man. It really just didn't work out.
That's what I was assuming. I was assuming on some of those cold winter nights we've had here in the Midwest.
Yeah, I was like, and then as soon as I did it, I realized what I'd done.
You regretted it instantly.
Like, this is a bad idea. I'm gonna just.
I've made a terrible decision.
I've made a huge mistake.
I made a huge mistake.
But that's now I just use it as a little carrying piece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what's your slop?
My slaps is probably going to go to, I don't know. I could take the easy route and just slaps Games Workshop because that's easy.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Like, Games Workshop has made a lot of weird decisions this year. It's left me kind of nebulous. Like, I still don't like their pricing decisions, and I still don't like a lot of their business plan. But they're doing some, like, really cool, interesting things at the same time. Like, all of these these side books that they're putting out, whether in a digital format or hardback. It's interesting, and it's throwing people for a loop. And whether or not you like it or don't like it, it's very interesting. But the pricing makes them fucking retardedly crazy.
Well, I mean, no, the other reason I really want to give them slaps is because I give Games Workshop a lot of shit, but I just really don't care about Games Workshop. I, like, just it fucking, who cares? Like, at this point, I'm just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people like when I talk shit about Workshop and point out what they already know. So
yeah.
So I do it.
Yeah, and people love it. They're like, woo!
Yeah,
it's like we're like the Big Bang Theory of internet radio.
No, it's a stand-up comedian tactic.
Yeah, like, it very much is.
Every stand-up comedian, they're pointing out shit that you already know, but they word it in a way where it's still funny, even though you know that they're just pointing it out because you know it.
People from the South be like this.
Exactly. Yeah. People in the South would be like, I sell duck calls, and I'm a homophobic.
Yeah. Shocking! hold on, Steve. Wait. You're telling me someone from the backwoods of Louisiana.
You're not in the Willy Wonka pose. You need to get in the Willy Wonka pose if you're going to do it.
Someone from the backwoods of Willy Wonka. From the backwoods of Louisiana is a homophobe. That does not shock me in the least.
Oh, man. I think we should have just kept that as the backwoods of Willy Wonka.
You get nothing.
You lose. You good lose. Day, sir.
Good day, sir.
So who am I going to give my who am I going to give my slops to? I don't know.
Mayfair Games. Just give it to Mayfair Games again.
Mayfair Games fucking blows. I fucking hate Mayfair Games. Their games are shit. Fucking Settlers. Ugh.
And actually, you know what? I'll give a negative review to. You know what I'm going to give a negative review to this year? Kickstarter. There have been so many Kickstarter delayed games that have just it's been
like Kickstarter's fault.
I know. But I'm putting that as a gross.
You should
umbrella.
Be like, I give slops to Cool Mini or Not. I give slops to Soda Pop Miniatures. I give slops to this, to that. You know, just fucking go down the laundry list of all the delayed Kickstarters.
Someone's getting me a copy of the Mantic rules for Dead Zone. I'm going to go over those. Hopefully, if I get them soon, I'll go over them.
I hear it's pretty good. It's small, zone-based game. I have not really seen it. So
I'll take a look at it, and maybe I'll let you take a spin on the rules. Yeah, what you think.
I heard it was pretty good. Someone described me.
It looks much better than the sci-fi game with the
Warpath?
Warpath.
Yeah, well, Warpath is basically shelved right now. They're like...
They're focusing on Dead Zone.
They're doing Dead Zone, and Dead Zone has a lot of prototype rule testing for Dead Zone. There's a lot of prototype rule testing for Warpath in Dead Zone. So when Warpath's Kickstarter inevitably comes out, it'll be a new rule set for a hardcover.
The Danger Zone.
Fucking log jamming. Kenny Loggins, log jamming.
Yeah. But, okay, so do you have actually have anything, like, negative that you want to throw out there, aside from just Mayfair Games, because I put that
fucking
Mayfair. That's like your like, shit bag every year. Is
fucking Mayfair. They're the fucking worst. I don't know. I'm pretty...
Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah, I mean, fucking the situation with Magic being, like, sold out everywhere constantly because they refused to print more product. But, like, that was the same thing last year and the year before. I'm going to give the... You know what? I'm going to give the slops to D&D Next.
Why is that?
D&D Next gets the slops for coming out now and not a year and a half ago when it was supposed to. Or when, not when it was supposed to, when it should have. So there you go. There's my slops are D&D Next. And, there you are. There you have it.
Well... More interesting, more power to you on that fact. So, I mean, that's going to be it.
I'll still look at it, though.
Yeah. I mean, you're still going to read through it, and you're going to be like, this sucks!
Maybe.
You know, like, ow, Steve, stop throwing books at me. Oh, it's Dungeons & Dragons. This is even worse.
Now we have a cut from this book.
I'm going to hold on to this rule book for far longer than I ever should. I can't believe I got out Lord of the Rings models and I actually started painting them.
You got no one to blame for that but yourself.
I really don't. I got the bug. It got in me, Steve. I'm not buying any new models.
Spontaneous psychosis?
I will not buy any new
models. You got spontaneous psychosis.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're just like, ah.
Anyway, one of the things I was thinking about doing, though, is since the bunker will be closed again January 26th, I want to do something from there on the closing day. Think we could get someone to play, like, taps on the trumpet when we get out there.
What the fuck is taps? The funeral song. Yeah, that's the funeral song. It's not taps.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that's the funeral song. I know that.
Yeah, I think we should get like a helicopter going off on the roof with like people like.
We should get them to play like some Mardi Gras jazz. Like,
yeah. Oh, we do one of those funerals, one of the Mardi Gras funerals.
Right, except we're actually just celebrating. We're not mourning.
You know what? It's the bunker.
Who fucking cares?
One of the most important stores.
I didn't give a shit when Gamer's Paradise closed. You used to work there,
Gamer's
too.
Gamer's Paradise was awful, though.
Still a big...
The people that worked
still
there
were... a huge chain of gaming stores in the area.
Yeah, but I still say the bunker was one of the most important stores in the Chicagoland area.
For Workshop?
No, not even for Workshop. Just for gaming in general. It, like... I think it defined...
I definitely do not agree with that.
I say it defined gaming in Chicagoland, at least for its run, that 10-year run that it had.
It defined Workshop gaming, but That was but like even 20 guys table, at most.
Tabletop gaming as a whole, and this includes like card games and everything else. Warhammer 40K is so big in the Chicagoland area, and I believe that has a lot to do with the bunker. Like, and the stuff that came out of the bunker.
Yeah. Which is why I keep reiterating, yes, it was very huge for war for 40K but and even, for fantasy, because it got people into the games
which
they wouldn't have gotten into otherwise.
But it's so important for, what I'm saying is that's important for Chicagoland, because it took the place of so many other games, with the exception of maybe Magic, but Magic is so prevalent everywhere that it's not like any single store could have an effect on that.
Oh, yeah. Magic was huge. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Magic's gigantic. And most of the people, I'm sure, who got into a workshop store and started playing 40K already played Magic or D&D.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's what I'm saying. Is like, the bunker was so important because it pushed everybody towards 40K. And it's why games like War Machine and Hordes, and yes, they have a following, have a hard time picking up in the Chicagoland area because of this. I mean, like, and this is a couple years ago. I'm not talking like now, where Games Workshop is crumbling like Gondor without its king. That's another Lord of the Rings reference.
That was good. They need to get Aragorn with Elendil, Flame of the West.
Gondor needs no king. Tim Lyson sitting there like fucking Denethor sitting on his throne.
He's burning his fucking funeral pyre.
Oh, Tim, I love you. So yeah, that's why I say it's, to me, it's sad. I mean, it's only sad just because it's a loss of what it represents. It's like the white tree of Gondor dying. Going back to that metaphor,
I feel complete ambivalence.
I know you do. You're like Rohan. You're like, where was Games Workshop? Yeah. The orcs. Yeah. I'm just going to keep going back to this reference. Awesome.
Where were they when the orcs came into my land?
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know.
I mean, most people I know don't play Workshop anymore.
But they did at some point. Right, and if they did at some point, guess where they played? They played at the bunker.
Sure. No, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I completely agree with you. It was very important as far as like miniatures games, because there also were no real miniatures games at the time. It was like, that's all you had. But now, because like, the environment of like gaming is like becoming this weird like pool.
So yeah,
like everyone's jumping into the fucking pool.
Yeah, it's great there. But I will be doing something from the bunker's closing on the last day. So I'm gonna point this out to you. If you are,
if you can pee in the slop sink.
If you are a Games Workshop ex red shirt, especially in the Chicagoland region, and you're listening to this, and I probably know most of you, shoot me an email at joe@planetarbitrary.com of some of your favorite Chicagoland Games Workshop stories. Just make fun of the customers if you want. I probably won't use their names if you put on there, but if you put a creative description of them, I would be more than happy to read them during this thing, because I would just love to, because this is it. This is the end of Games Workshop in Chicagoland. Games Workshop Chicagoland.
I guess that and the other thing too, like with the sole exception of Tim, every one of the people I knew from Workshop were long gone.
Yeah.
Like, long gone at this point. Yeah. All of them.
Yeah, I no doubt. But that's what I'm saying, is like, at one point, it was like, it was the beacon of West.
But and that's because it was the people who worked there.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
You mean us.
Well, and Josh, yeah. And Dave,
yeah.
And Tim, and Delanois and his beard.
And Doc, and
yeah.
Cliff. And,
right, right. Yeah. It's because the people who worked there were the people who made that store into what it was. And then you could see, like, as soon as the people, like, started trickling away, the customers also started trickling away.
And we formed a cult of personality, don't you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's why, yeah, send it to me, joe@planetarbitrary.com. I'll be more than happy to read it on the air. Well, I want to do something special for that, because I think it is a momentous occasion. It is. We should be pushing the store down a river while shooting flaming arrows at it.
And missing.
And then our uncle comes, give me that. Brendan Blackfish Tully. So go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Email me direct at joe@planetarbitrary.com, especially if you want to send me free shit, because there's nothing more than I like than getting free shit in the mail.
If anyone wants to send him a literal poop, that would be amazing. and label it free.
Please don't send me poop.
Yes!
Technically, it's illegal in the United States to send feces through the mail.
It could be vacuum sealed.
I guess maybe in that case.
If it's vacuum sealed, it's totally legit.
If it's vacuum sealed, I'm okay. Right. I won't cry if it's vacuum. I'll be like, holy crap, someone sent me a vacuum sealed poop. That took a lot of effort, more effort than I'm aware of.
Yes.
Email me directly at joe@planetarbitrary.com if you want to get in contact with me. Aside from that, subscribe to us on iTunes. We got a huge boost in our numbers lately. I don't know where it came from, but what I okay. So this
is because the Michigan Poker Hour finally went down.
I don't know what it was, but we got a huge boost in our some of our numbers. But however, we're still behind the Webkinz Island podcast.
Those sons of bitches.
How does the Webkinz Island who listens to the Webkinz Island podcast?
I didn't realize that Webkinz were still a thing.
I didn't either. How are we not more popular than
Apparently
Webkinz?
They have a small but dedicated fan base.
Yes.
I mean, we don't, like, we could have good numbers, but that's very fucking relative.
I guess.
I mean, okay, but Welcome to Night Vale has, like, 8 million likes on Facebook, I think.
Something like that. Some ridiculous
thing. I don't know, like, a huge fucking number. It's like, we have, like, 198.
Yeah. Oh, we're so close to the 200.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking, it doesn't mean anything.
It's going to be so important when we get it. We're going to be like, da, 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 da.
Just one of those poppers, like, and just throw it away. Like, that's it. Just like, toss it.
Yeah.
Wait, what a milestone.
I'll tell you what, Steve, when we get the 200 subscribers, I will make a video. We'll let you make a video of you breaking one of my Lord of the Rings models with a implement of your choice. And we'll just put it up on a Facebook page.
Iron dildo.
If you have one.
I need to get a cast iron dildo.
Yeah, I will get any Lord of the Rings model I have. I'll put it right on the table and I'll let you break it any way you want.
But what if I don't want to break it?
Now you're just being contrarian. So subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us likes. Give us stars. Whatever they tell you to give it. We got in some really good ones as of late. I wish I could read them, but I don't have them in front of me.
I don't see any of those.
You got to go to iTunes to look at it.
You have to have an account. To
yeah,
look at
and you
them.
Don't.
And nope. That's.
I ain't gonna get an account.
That's not happening.
Yeah, because life is so hard, Steve.
No, it's just not happening. There's no fucking reason.
Well, to read the reviews of our wonderful subscribers.
Right. Well, like, you can tell me the reviews.
I could. I can very well do that. But you should, so you can go there and give us a 5-star review, Steve, so we can beat the Webkinz Poker Hour.
I don't believe in
Webkinz Poker Hour.
I don't believe in self review.
All right, so Steve,
I would just give us a 1-star and be like, "These guys blow ass,
Steve." Until the next cast,
I want everyone to have a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, a crazy Kwanzaa, and a solemn and dignified
Ramadan. You missed
Ramadan.
One. It's a tip-top Tet.
Fuck Tet!
And a solemn and dignified Ramadan.
Fuck. Oh, everyone always forgets about Tet.
Game classy.